It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along for the ride as well this week. Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor. Good morning, good afternoon, whenever people are hearing this show.
Yes, good afternoon, Mark.
People listen to your podcast as well at BibleBasedCounselor.com. Did you say there's another radio station in South Dakota or something that airs your show?
Yeah, so if you're going to South Dakota.
So a shout out to people in South Dakota. I don't know what station it's on, but people loving his input, his thoughts about so many different areas of life, not only a counselor, but a life coach. And what do you mean by life coaching?
It's a lot like counseling.
It's a lot like
You know, think of any kind of coaching, and people people have come to me sometimes and say that I just need coaching, and it'll be, you know, how can I have a better attitude about myself and other people, or kind of this sort of thing. You can see that kind of a thing could come up in counseling too. You know, I deal with self-esteem and those kinds of things. So,
life coaching maybe a less medical sounding term, or
It's certainly less medical and more
practical or something.
And maybe more popular. But when people come for life coaching, they get some counseling, and when people come from counseling or for counseling, eventually it's coaching. You know,
so. Well, I would think life coaching too has to deal more with career things and.
I suppose coaching is like, you know, you think of coaching, if you're coached in to do something, particularly in doing life, we're already doing life. So it's a way of doing it better. So if I can say, you know, I'm a singer or I'm a runner, but I want to be better at it, I'm going to go to someone to kind of point out, you know, what am I doing wrong? And how can I maximize? So there's coaching, but you can easily see how that's almost the goal of counseling too. So,
okay. Well, this week we are looking at the subject of communication, and not just communication in marriage. I think you've talked about communication in marriage before, but you kind of want to open this up a little bit more, just communication in general, interpersonal relationships, how to communicate better at work, communicate better with your kids. It's all about coding and decoding, you say.
Yeah. I have a long article in it, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, and it's in the archives, and it's a part one and part two on counseling. It's a long article, so I thought I'd probably let's just do a radio show on it. I don't know if I've podcasted anything on counseling before, but
on counseling or communication?
Or communication, excuse me. But every show is a bit different, and this one's going to be different again. So when we say communication, we can mean different things. And I've had people come to me for counseling. I tell the story of the couple that went to the counselor, and their complaint was, we don't communicate. And so then for an hour, they argued about everything and didn't get anywhere. And so finally, the exhausted counselor said, okay, I'm convinced you don't communicate. And then counselor forgot that he or she had forgotten to calculate what they owed, because I think it was a sliding fees. And so the counselor said, oh, could you, do you have any idea what your combined income was? And without saying a word, they just did an eyebrow thing, and they both came up with a number. And the counselor just sat back and said, well, you're communicating now. So,
right.
So when they came in, they were saying, we don't communicate. And whatever they meant, it came down to exchange of data. But the thing is that we can exchange data when it's convenient for us, which was what this couple did. They withheld data when it was in their interest, and then they exchanged data when it was in their interest. So people can communicate. And when people come and say, well, we can't communicate, what I read that to mean is that we won't communicate for one reason or another. And so what they're really after is they're after issues of trust and communion down underneath the exchange of data, because we can always exchange data when it's advantageous to us. What we really want in more intimate relationships is communion. But so I start off basically in this article talking about, you know, what is communication? Well, communication is coding and decoding. I have some input into this relationship, and I want to get that information across. the other person coming this way also has information for me. And so it behooves each one of us to code that information in such a way that it's going to be understood, not misunderstood, but understood and accepted. And so that brings into the play different communication tools. And so they would be, I have five that I teach people. You see, I'll name off these five and you say, oh, that doesn't take very long to teach those things. Timing, tone of voice, or actually timing and then the actual words, I say, then tone of voice, body language and facial expression. So these are tools, timing, words, tone of voice, body language, facial expression. These are the tools that I use to code my message to that other person. Mm. If I don't use those tools properly, I may be trying to send a message, but it's so often going to be misinterpreted. Mm-hmm. And so that would be poor communication on my part. So I want to try to code my message in such a way using these tools so that the message will be understood and received. But you really can't control if the other person understands your message, can you? Mm. Because they have a different... All I can do really is do my best using those tools to ensure the highest probability that they'll understand them. So again, tone of voice is so critical. I see so many people who seem to be saying the right things, but their tone of voice is all wrong. Mm. And they just meet resistance all the time.
This is one that happens a lot in my interpersonal community, both in work environments and friends, and mainly a lot in my marriage too, is that tone of voice. Because I make my living with my voice, and I can be saying, oh yeah, I agree or whatever, but the tone and maybe the facial expression, but mostly the tone of voice can totally mean something totally different.
Yeah,
and I gotta be careful with that one.
Yeah, we all do.
All do.
I talk about this all the time, and I still catch myself almost on a daily basis. Well, I should say, I'll be honest here. On a daily basis, there's always some moment where the tone of voice is not quite right, and you know it has to do with some other things. You know, things going on in my own mind or in the background that are affecting the level of attention that I'm showing this other person, or maybe the person is sharing something that I don't particularly want to hear. So my response, my tone of voice. You know, another thing that happens too, Mark, is that maybe that other person is doing a poor job communicating, not using timing. It's a bad timing. I see that a lot. Bad timing, not the right words. They might use, like, for example, rhetorical questions. What were you thinking? And to start off the comment, which, you know, kind of gets my ire up. So now I'm not really listening to the rest of it. I'm so offended by that first part, and I'm already building my case. I'm not listening anymore. So maybe they're not doing a good job. Maybe it's tone of voice. Maybe it's the words they're using. Maybe it's their body language, which tells me to put on my armor, or their facial expression. But I still don't have to respond to the bad communication. I always have the opportunity. Every time I respond, I'm given the opportunity to correct our communication by using the right tone of voice, the right words.
Yeah. What are the differences, kind of applying this then to the gender differences? Men and women do communicate differently, wouldn't you say? Both learn how to be better at some of the weaknesses of the sexes kinds of communication.
I would say, you know, when we draw that line between men and women, I always want to go back and draw the line between masculine and feminine, which is more a bit more of a continuum. I know men who are very gentle in the way that they speak, almost feminine, and those men are typically found in engineering jobs as a florist or something like that. Okay. You know, I've also encountered women who are very brusque in their in the way that they communicate. So I think it's more, but stereotypically, I would say yes, that's correct. That men, being typically masculine, are more masculine, do have a way of communicating that's more, you know,
factual.
More factual. Take the, you know, take the initiative. Take the take
women
the
are more feeling, and then how to tune it for those strengths and weaknesses. I mean, being factual can be a strength, but it can be a weakness too.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that is you know, trying to get people to see too is that, okay, there is that difference of communicating, and I will never. We will never agree on that part of it. And so what's really practical in my expectation? So if I'm in relationship, or whether it's a work relationship, you know, a supervisor or a fellow employee, or an intimate relationship in marriage or family, understanding that, okay, there's two things here. One is understanding one for another in grace, but also on both sides, the commitment to change. So my wife may say, well, I know that's the way Dan communicates and that's the way he hears, but that doesn't give me permission to just stay that way. I can never take the position. That's me. Get over it. I've got to be working toward her side. See, I've got to be better at communicating in a way, that she understands. And that, so will I ever get there? No, we're two different people. And thankfully, because I believe that God puts us in relationship, where it's always, there's always a dynamic there that calls for surrender, sacrifice, humility, putting the other person first.
Are you saying then, getting back to the male-female differences, people can't use that as an excuse? Well, she's talking this way because she's a woman, or he's talking this way because he's a man, or she's hearing me this way because she's a woman, or he's hearing me this way because he's a man. Mm-hmm. You're saying that's a cop out?
That's a cop out because even if that's true,
that is true. Yeah, I think
it doesn't take me. It doesn't take me off. You know, an example would be well, she just wants flowers because she's a gal, and so therefore I won't give her flowers. You know, so,
okay.
So she wants flowers because she's a gal. I don't see flowers, but maybe I better learn to appreciate them at least enough to enjoy bringing her flowers and enjoy what it does for her. Because I've seen men cross their arms or women cross their arms and say, well, I'm not going to talk to him or I'm not going to talk to her because they always, you know, every time I say anything, you interpret it as this. Well, okay, but if I know that to be true, then the challenge is for me to begin to say things in a way, change my tone of voice, change my wording, change my body posture in such a way that I begin to, because I've had couples go loggerheads right in that session. Then I will be able to say, hold it. Let me speak just for a second. And you know what? They're all ears. They're not fighting with me. And I'm saying, why can't you talk? You're listening to me. Why don't you change your tone of voice and your body posture so that you'll be listening to one another? We can do that if we choose to.
Communication, it's so important in every one of our relationships, whether marriage or work relationships or parent-child relationships. Communication is a big deal. And this is a subject that you help people with, obviously. Life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor, if people need some help with this, how do they get in touch with you?
Yes, the phone number is 425-778-6169. I can also be reached by email through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, which is also where we have the podcast for these very shows.
And what's the other website that has a lot of your articles?
Yeah, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, ChristianCounselorsForum.com, and in the archives. There's a link to archives there, and somewhere in those archives, it's been a number of years, so it'll be down a ways, but there's a two-part article on communication, and a lot of this information and more is actually at that article.
Okay. Great stuff always with Daniel Pryor. We'll be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along as well, learning lots this week about communication, kind of a big subject. And Daniel, you wanted to now kind of break it down into learning the language of the other person, maybe the other kind of, there's a certain relationship language for a marriage that's different from a language for parent-child, a language at work. Talk about this.
Yeah, and so assuming all that we've said before about that there are these tools, because you're not going to get to learning the language unless you're using the tools. And by learning the language, I really mean that when a couple gets married, and even if they've been married for many years, but they've never been deliberate about, you know, let's learn to communicate. Let's learn to talk in a way that we really enjoy communicating, getting closer. If they've never come to that place, you can be married for a long, long time and still never have begun to learn the other person's language. And I'm not talking about
the five love languages.
But what I'm talking about is, and I'll give a little illustration of a young or a typical teenage boy or a young boy, could be a young girl, and addressing the parents. And the young man is trying to be respectful to the parents. And if you're a parent and you've had teenager, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. The young man is trying to be respectful, but it's not coming out respectful. Teenagers have a way, this is when we first start to really recognize this, it's almost like they can't say anything respectfully. But I know that as a teenager growing up, I had a lot of respect for my dad, and there were times when I would try to say something respectful. But what I realized many years later and looking back on those unsuccessful attempts to be respectful was that I didn't have the language. The words teenagers use with their parents are not the words that they're comfortable using, because we use an entirely different vernacular with our group, with our age group. Parents use a vernacular with their age group. They use a vernacular with their children, but as children grow, that vernacular has to change. And sometimes we sort of get locked into a way of communicating. And so we need to learn that how I'm talking about the words that I use, say, for example, that my son or my daughter, the words I use that they understand and that they hear, that they listen to. And I'm not talking about enabling a person. Where, you know, there's the parent's responsibility to teach the child, et cetera, but when a child is becoming an adult, there's a way you have to speak to them in a language that opens that door for being an adult. So they have to get used to using an adult tone and adult words with you. And you have to get used to using those same words and tone with them. And it's the same with married couples when they get married. Or as I said, we can be married for many years and having never done this intentionally, still have a problem learning. For example, the man who is, I think maybe high on the four scale, I think it's in the MMPI, very traditional in his masculine stance, arms akimbo, and saying, you know, I'm not going to go down there and talk to you on your level because I'm the man of the house. And never taking the time to learn the language and the tone of voice that communicates care, admiration, those kinds of things. And women also guilty of similar thing on their side of it. You know, he doesn't understand. I've actually had people say that in a counseling. I would say, well, you have some good information. Can you rephrase that for him? And the response will be, oh, he wouldn't understand. Instead of taking that responsibility of coding, as we were talking about, I need to code this in such a way. And a lot of times that's the beginning of vulnerability. We've talked about vulnerability in relationship, and I've often said vulnerability is the beginning of communication. And a lot of times it's a humbling experience for me to kind of realize that I have the responsibility and the wherewithal to change my tone of voice, change my words, change my body posture. I've had people in counseling set in such a way that their body posture says, talk to the wall, right, instead of turning toward one another.
Talk to the hand.
Yeah. instead of turning toward one another, lowering their voice, softening their voice, and and even the facial expression that says, you know, tell me again, I didn't quite understand that. All those things are so, you know, they each person, again, could have critical information, but be coding it wrong. So learning the language, the husband and wife, and I say even newly married, or if they've been married for a while, there's a tone of voice, and there's a style of all its own. It's not hers, it's not his. It's something that they have to learn together that is the way that they're going to talk. Let me comment on this, too. A lot of times, in certain situations, in certain kinds of relationships, I see a lot of it maybe in families that where there's been a divorce or a loss, and then there's marriage, and the kids have step parents, and the step parents will use a childish voice or always use humor or something like that to talk to the child, and vice versa. They'll use a lot of humor and in lieu of learning the language that will help them grow in a mature way. They're almost afraid to go there, so it'll always be joking, or it'll always be, you know, a caricaturizing or parroting kind of voice, ribbing, poking fun at, rather than taking the time to learn the words and the tone of voice, the language that can actually be utilized to communicate clear, cogent thoughts. Yeah, so this learning of the language for parents to kids and kids to parents and married couples or whatever, and even also like in the workplace, opening, you know, learning the language opens up the passage to really communicate. And so that's something that a lot of people typically we don't catch.
Well, and you say also, getting back to some of your foundational thoughts here about communication, is about communion, mm-hmm. obviously different levels of communion mm-hmm. we should expect in life. One, we're going to certainly hopefully have the best communion with God mm-hmm. and then the spouse mm-hmm. and then with kids mm-hmm. and our communion with our friendships and then maybe in the workplace. Those are different levels of intimacy and vulnerability mm-hmm. that needs to be examined. Mm-hmm. These basic tools, why don't you again just really quickly kind of flesh mm-hmm. out what you mean by these five things.
Yeah.
Timing, words, tone of voice, body language, and facial expression.
Mm-hmm. Timing is probably one that we don't pay enough attention to. Well, we don't pay attention to a lot of them, but it would probably, if I said I have a list of five, timing would be one that people probably didn't guess was going to be on that list. I've seen people, teenagers, you know, if you've had a teenager or a child, you know, that they really are good at using timing. If they want to stay overnight with somebody or they want a yes on something, they'll pick a time when you can't think the answer through or, you know, you're preoccupied. And that's mm-hmm. when they'll pop the question, hey, in a sort of a way that, you know, just don't really think about what you're saying. Just give me a yes on it. But I've seen adults also raise questions and conversations at a time when it has almost no success in developing into a meaningful relationship. And that's a way of not communicating. That's a way of saying, okay, well, we talked about this and you didn't like the idea, or I brought it up the other day while you were driving, or I brought it up. You know, I think we've mentioned on a show before that for the kinds of conversations that draw us closer together before a meal is the worst time to talk. The best time to talk is, you know, during the meal or shortly after the meal, because, you know, before the meal, our brain is thinking about survival and it's not thinking about interaction. So there's things like that. Trying to carry on in-depth critical conversations while we're driving in traffic. So that'd be timing. Words. A lot of times people are careless with words. You know, we throw out rhetorical questions or say things like, you know, I didn't say you were stupid. I said what you did was stupid. Things like that, where we use words that we could use better words. So taking time to use words, grow our vocabulary. Tone of voice, obviously. You can say the right words with the wrong tone of voice, and they mean just the opposite of what you said. And then, again, body language is huge.
Yeah, this whole, I'm like a whole show on body language and facial expression. Yeah. I've heard body language is something people pay way more attention to than words. Yeah, and body language.
And the thing about that is, you know, you see, I've seen this, you know, husband and wife come in, and he's like 6'4", and he weighs like 250 pounds, and she's like, you know, 5 feet and weighs about 125. He said, and he'll say, I'm not intimidating. I didn't intimidate her. And, Fred, just by your size, you're intimidating. Right. You know, you need to learn to be smaller if you're going to invite her to speak her mind. You're going to have to learn to be smaller. Mm. Body language is huge. That's what we miss. And then, you know, and facial expression. So often, I'm a person that if I'm not careful, I have a scowl on my face. You know, maybe it's my glasses prescription or what. But right. So my daughter and wife have at times said, Dad, what's the matter? Are you having a bad day? No, it's just,
I'm squinting because of the sunshine.
Yeah.
My eyes.
Driving the car one day, I actually had somebody roll their window down and tell me to stop frowning. And I think I was looking into the sun or something,
So these are all just scratching the surface of the big subject of communication. Do you need some help in communicating in your life, whether it's a marital situation, you're with your kids, maybe you're not getting along at work, and you need some tools on how to communicate better? Daniel Pryor can definitely help you. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
By phone at 425-778-6169. And by email through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And also podcasts of your broadcasts are at that BibleBasedCounselor.com website. Right. Always great stuff with Daniel Pryor and Sound Mind here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.